Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. No matter how hard I try, I can't get away from this statement of the Lord right now. And he's weaving a lot of things into it that I didn't anticipate. But that's why he's the Lord and I'm not. Well, there's a lot of reasons why he's the Lord and I'm not. I'm just real glad that I'm not. I'm glad I'm not your judge. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm not even my own judge. Hallelujah. And the verse that I keep hearing, we'll look at it first, but then I can't just do that anymore. I can't just do a verse, you know. We're going to have to go before and after. But in my prayer time, in preparation time, this is the verse right in this season that keeps coming up. And it's Matthew 5:14. And Jesus said to us, now his followers, you, and I know it says ye, but it means you. You, followers of mine, you are the light of the world. I'll just stop right there. That always, I go, no, Jesus, you're the light of the world. You know, you're the light of the world. But he keeps saying is, well, that's true. But if I don't shine through you, the world can't really see me. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, what we're supposed to be to the world, if they've seen us, they've seen Jesus. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And the more he is permeated our being, the more we have been conformed to that image, the more we are to shine as lights in a dark world. Well, let's look at the verses after. I like them better. The ones before aren't so pleasant. You are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Now, why put that in there? God didn't light your little light for you to hide it away somewhere. He lit us to burn brightly in a dark world so that if people want to escape the darkness, they can run to the light. But they can't run to you if they don't see any light. No, I'll take that back. They can't run to me. Okay, we'll just talk about me. Okay? So, verse 16 is very unreligious, see? He says, let your light shine before men. People say, I don't do anything for men to see it. See, and here in a little while, he talks about, when I don't do your giving to be seen of men, don't do your praying to be seen of men, don't do your, what's the other one? Fasting to be seen of men. But here he says, let your light shine before men. Messes with your meditator. And to make it worse, he talks about works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Wait a minute, right? Wait, look, go to chapter 6, verse 1. Wouldn't giving alms be a good work? Take heed that you do not do your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So here in verse 6, chapter 5, verse 16, let them see, let your light shine, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But in verse 6, don't do your giving to be seen of men. Don't do your fasting to be seen of men, and for sure don't be doing your praying to be seen of men. Okay, y'all meditate on that for an hour and I'll be back. No. It's kind of stuff that'll drive you nuts, you know. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I got to tell you again, somebody gave me a Bible recently, and it's one of those nice ones, you know. You'll never see it here. It's one of those that's full of all the Greek definitions. You don't have to go back and forth to your Strong's. They're already right there, you know. And these are good men that love the Lord that are on their way to heaven. But I'm going to counsel you once again. Your intellect is no safeguard against deception. And they have their, you know, if they just had the Bible there and the Greek definitions, it'd be a nice little Bible. I mean, I'd really use that thing. But it's full of all their opinions. And these are, you know, PhD after PhD, and they've spent their lifetime intellectually studying the Bible with all, they know the Greek, they know the Hebrew, they know the tenses, they know all that stuff. So let me tell you some of their conclusions. Tongues is not for today. There's no such thing as prophecy today. Man still is a sinner. He still has a, no matter the new birth, you still have a sin nature. On and on and on and on. It's deception from beginning to end. That's why you'll never see me carry that Bible. I don't want you to think I think it's a good one. By that action, I'm letting my light shine before you. You won't see me in the liquor store. Are you too holy to go in the liquor store? No. But I have, because I do speak from the pulpit and people know who I am. Or just if my neighbor knew I was a Christian, I don't want them to think it's okay or that I think it's okay. All things are lawful for me. I can have a drink if I want one. I'm not going to have one, by the way. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. You won't catch me at the casino gambling. Now I'm hitting on toes now. Don't tell me. Anyway, I know more than you think I know. Word gets back to me about stuff. Am I judging? No. But you'll never convince me that you believe in your heart that God thinks gambling is okay. You'll never convince me of that. You may have convinced yourself of that. But it's not okay. Let your light shine. Now, I'll tell you what really happens here. See, that sounds wonderful, that they may glorify your God which is in heaven. But let me show you what happens when you let your light shine. Back up a little bit in the same chapter. Starts off great, you know, chapter 5. Well, we'll just start with the whole thing. These are called the Beatitudes, by the way. Napoleon Bonaparte, most of you know who that was. At one time, you know, he was the emperor, and really they were trying to make a god out of him. They're calling him Napoleon the Divine. Well, he stopped them, to his credit. He says, you want to see the divine? Read the Beatitudes. That was from Napoleon Bonaparte. Chapter 5, verse 1. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. How many of y'all are his disciples? Let me see here. Discipline followers. He opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, that's teachable, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And boy, I wish it stopped right there. He's talking about letting your light shine. No, I don't really wish it stopped there. I'm just saying, that's really wonderful. I want to be all those things. Don't you? You know what happens if you are? Verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecuted. I thought they'd glorify God for my good works over here, letting my light shine. Well, some of them will. Some of them are going to persecute you. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they love me, they're going to love you. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. He said at one point, he says, you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I never thought in my lifetime I'd see that come to pass, but it's coming to pass right before my very eyes. Where the name Christian to the world is going to be something spit at. Blessed are you, verse 11, when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you, notice, falsely, for my sake. Blessed are you? I'm letting my light shine. I'm letting the world see. I'm merciful. I'm meek. I'm a peacemaker. I'm just telling the truth, God. I'm just declaring the truth and doing my best to live pleasing in your sight. Yes, but by that very action, light exposes darkness. We're going to see that in Ephesians here in a minute. Your light, just by living it, even if you don't say anything, exposes darkness. At one of the Bible studies, one of the girls we used to hold years and years ago at our home, one of the young ladies one time that had come for a long time, she just said in passing, I actually overheard her talking to somebody else. She said, if I ever saw that Gary coming out of a liquor store, I think I'd just backslide and go back to the bars myself. I think it was God that let me hear that. See? Are we going to let our light shine, or are we not going to let it shine? Are we going to expose darkness or not? Are we going to stand up for the truth or not? Well, I will as long as everybody likes me. They're not going to like you. Not everybody. Boy, I know you're glad you got up at 8:30 to come to this shouting message. I'm so glad when I have these shouting messages like this. What's funny is I'm reading a book because somebody asked me to. I can barely make it through a chapter at a time. It's all I can take. And there's nothing really wrong with it. It's just, you know, Christianity light, you know. I don't even want to say anything that would let you know what the title is. God, give me a break, you know. Yeah. Anyway, go to Ephesians 5. We better leave. This is too hard right here. So what does it mean to let your light shine? And he says, do your works before men so that they can see that light. But then right on the other hand, he says in the same sermon, just a little further down, but don't do your giving to be seen of them. And don't do your fasting to be seen of them. And don't do your praying to be seen of them. Yet he says all the time, fast and give and pray. Well, what he's really talking about there is don't do anything for religious purposes to be seen of men, to make so that they would think you're something other than a forgiven person that's been born again by the grace of God. I mean, I don't know how to really put it. Why do you pray? If it's just to be seen of men, Dave said it one time that really got it across to me. He says, you know, if you're one of those people that Jesus is talking about there, who's like doing his giving, don't blow a trumpet. Can you imagine that they actually did that? And apparently they did. And Dave did it like this. He goes, dun da 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 da, dun da 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 da. I'm about to give to the poor. Everybody come and watch. Look what a good person I am. I'm about to pray. I pray more than you. Now see, Paul said, I thank my God. I speak in tongues more than you all. But he was trying to teach them. He was not trying to impress them. Yes, that's it. That's it. That's it. See. We are to, our lives are to teach by example. You see that? They are to teach by example. It says here in one of the letters, it says, wives, you can win your husbands without ever saying a word to them. They're saying to the gospel. By the manner of life that you live in front of them. Let your light shine. One of the verses I intended to read before we left and went to Ephesians was over in Matthew 6:33. You don't have to turn back there. You know this one by heart. He finishes up, you know what's in Matthew 6. He says, take no thought for your life, what you'll wear, what you'll eat, what you'll drink. He says, consider the birds of the air, consider the lilies of the field. You're far more valuable than any of those, and yet your Father feeds and clothes them. Then he says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be just, they'll just be added unto you. I'd like to be as carefree as a bird, carefree as a lily. I think to be kingdom-minded from the time you wake up until the time your eyes close on the pillow at night is probably the greatest blessing of God on planet Earth. Because when you're really kingdom-minded, and I mean in a fellowship way, I don't mean a legal way, I mean in a, you and the king are going to go together today. You and the king, I don't care if your job is slopping hogs at the trough, I don't care what it is, you and the king are going to be in doing kingdom business all day long, and you're in fellowship with him, casting the whole of your care upon him because he cares for you. You have not a care in the world except you and Jesus going to walk through life today. That is life. That is abundant life. That is living to the fullest. That is letting your light shine. You can't walk with the king without walking in love. Because Jesus is the express image of God, and we are being molded together into that same image. Look at Ephesians 5. We'll pick it up here in verse 8. It says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. Doesn't that sound? You are the light of the world. And here he's exhorting us, walk as children of the light. Well, how do we do that, Paul? He says, well, first of all, the fruit of the Spirit, and that really, that's okay to have capital S there, I guess, but it's really talking about the fruit of your new nature, who you are as a child of light. At one time, you were a child of darkness. Now you're a child of light. So you've been born again. The fruit of the new nature, the fruit of the nature that's in you now, summed up, is in all goodness. Notice, and righteousness. Notice, truth. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. I can't leave that verse 9. Goodness. You remember when the rich young ruler came and he said, good master, what must I do that I may obtain eternal life? And Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's only one good. And that's God. And I'll just tell you straight out, the longer I'm in this, even looking at myself and everybody I know, the more I'm convinced that's true. There's only one really, really good, and that's God. To the degree that his nature has been conformed in you, you're good. To that degree. But there is no other anything that is 100% good but God. There's no darkness in him at all. None. In him is light. There is no darkness in him at all. He is good all the time. I like how Alan said, you got to be careful if God is good all the time, having too many of those friends, you know. What he means by that is, oh, he'll forgive you no matter what you do. He will. Anyway, that was a great message. But the fruit of the Spirit is not only in goodness, it's in righteousness. See, that's the thing about the new birth. We keep lying to ourselves that we're still a sinner when we're really not. And you'll have great intellectual dictionary type scholars tell you that you're still just an old sinner saved by grace, that you're still that. Boy, I don't know what they did with the rest of the New Testament. How you can believe that and just be able to read, I don't understand. But somehow they can take their great intellect somehow proves to them opposite of what the Bible says. Righteousness, the fruit of the new nature is goodness, righteousness. Okay, I got to say it again. He won't let me pass this. At your core, you are righteousness with legs. In the same way that before you got born again, you were a sinner with legs. And you tried all you could to restrain that sin nature, you know, but you couldn't, you know, it'd come out. The truth of the matter is we are now truly at our core righteousness with legs. And really it is our preconceived notions and habits and history that restrains the new nature. We continue walking in patterns that we've had when really we're putting shackles on the new nature. That's not even who you are. You just think you're that way because of strongholds of patterns from the past. That's not really who you even are. The fruit of your new nature is righteousness. Gary? Oh, people? And the other one is truth. Father, thy word is truth. Of course, I'm always dealing with people that are battling sickness. I'm always dealing, and I have to battle it myself, you know. And the question comes up, you know, you're trying to school them. They're trying to learn. It's difficult when you're in pain. Trust me, I haven't been on 63 years on the planet without pain. I understand. It's difficult when pain is your evidence. And you're trying to school them, and they're trying to learn to make the confession, and they're trying to renew their mind to the fact that by his stripes they were healed. It's not even God making that decision. It's you appropriating from the decision he made 2,000 years ago, see? But still, the question will come up again. Well, my symptoms have gotten worse since I started this. Should I go see the doctor? And see, the answer to that always, ministers, always is yes. Because if they have to ask that question, they're not there yet. Their evidence is still what they perceive to be truth. What I mean by that, the symptoms, the physical pain or whatever it is, the whatever symptom it is in your mind, that is truth. But see, the new nature knows what truth is. The spirit that's in you, that new nature you were born again with, the fruit is truth. What did Jesus say truth was? Father, thy word is truth. Yeah, but I have all these symptoms. That's not the truth. Those are only facts. God's word is truth, and truth will change any fact. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. I don't care what name they put on it. The name of Jesus is above every name that is named, and that is truth. But it takes a while to get that way. That's part of that renewed mind, see? But at your core, the fruit of your new nature, it would prefer to believe truth. Can I say it that way? It will naturally believe God's word. I'm healed? Yes. Let's go with that one. Now, peace and righteousness and joy and... Yeah, but the symptoms are still there. Doesn't matter. I'm healed. I know I'm healed. Doesn't matter. Pain, you're not going to win. You're leaving, my buddy. Whatever the symptoms are, you are not staying. You are only a fact. You will leave, Jesus' name. And it will, too. It may take a while. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship... With some people, I don't know why people think this is in the Old Testament. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove just means expose them. And this, he's talking about light. A friend of mine wrote something I thought was very good. You can't make darkness light. Absolutely, I agree with that. Did you know that darkness can't stay when light comes? Darkness doesn't even resist. You flip on the light in a totally pitch black room, you flip on the light, darkness goes. I don't even hear it screaming. Ah! Light exposes darkness. walk as children of light. And for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved or exposed or discovered are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. And here's that verse that we started out with last year. Awake. No, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. To a large extent, the church has been asleep. Been molded by false religion. When I say church, I'm not talking about this one so much. I'm just talking about the church at large. It's lost a lot of its light. Gary, you wanting to go back to bun hairdos, no makeup, no jewelry, and all that type of stuff? God forbid. God forbid. No, we're talking about real holiness. The kind that comes from the inward man. The kind that's being talked about here. The kind that shines forth. And I'll tell you, the number one thing it will manifest all the time is love. See if we really... Okay, you're still in Ephesians. Okay, go back to Matthew just for a moment. Did you know right in the middle, in between what I read to you, Matthew 5 and Matthew 6, he says it again. They're going to persecute you. He just got through saying, if you live a really righteous and holy lifestyle, he wants you to do it to be a light in a dark world. You are the light of the world. I want you to walk that way. They're going to persecute you. And then he says a lot of things to say. Then over in chapter 6, we're real familiar with that and everything he said there. But back up from chapter 6, just a few verses. Look at verse 43 of chapter 5. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's the way it was under the old covenant. But I say unto you, same thing he says in Luke 6, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Do you understand how opposite from the world that is? Pray for those that persecute you and those that are doing all these evil things. And he says that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be you therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. What he means is, God is your pattern. Be imitators of God. Let your light shine. Pray for them. One of the instructions he gave me during a different administration, it really wasn't during this current one, but boy, he gave me an instruction. It's in the face-to-face documents at the website called Pray for Leaders. And at the time, I was at polar opposite from who was our president at the time. I mean, I'm everything he believes in, I believe the opposite. Should I call down fire from heaven, God, upon this president? His instruction to me is to pray for him like he's your own son. I hear a lot of, okay, I'm going to be honest. Too often I hear my own voice criticize the government right now. Okay? And too often I hear, if I'm going to be honest before God and before you, I hear criticism come out of my mouth. And I'm sure if I get down and listen to the king, he's going to be saying, are you praying for him? Are you making intercession for him? Are you praying for those in authority? Like I told you in my word, pray for kings and those that are in authority. That may lead a peaceful life. Here it is again. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those, the very ones that are doing you in and taking away your goods and persecuting you and stabbing you in the back and doing all that stuff. He says you pray for them. Well, go to Colossians this time. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Talking about living as children of light. There's a lot of similarities between the letter to the Ephesians and the letter to the Colossians. But sometimes just hearing the same truth put a little different way will impact you, you know. So Colossians chapter 3, let's start in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Did y'all find it? Did I say it right? Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. In Ephesians, he talks about put on the new man, which is renewed after the knowledge of him that created him. Here he's put on. This is really talking about the same thing. This is attributes of the new man. Let that inside man come to the outside, or let your light shine. Shine as lights in a dark world. Well, here's some ways you can do it. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. This should be, when they talk about you, this is what they're like. They're full of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. I told you I did a study, Greek in-depth study of the word long suffering. After many hours of study and checking the tenses, and it means to suffer long. Put up with it. Put up with them. Don't give up on them. Yeah, they're driving you crazy. Don't give up on them anyway. Long suffering, forbearing, plain English, putting up with, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Wait a minute, if everything's perfect, it's talking about your brother here now. It's talking about brethren. Forgiving one another, that means there's still stuff going on that needs forgiving. In a church, yeah. And if any man have a quarrel against any, he's saying forgive one another if any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. So he forgave us. He says, all right. He's up on the cross. He says, as soon as y'all let me down from here, I'll forgive you. Once you apologize, I'll forgive you. And once you restore everything, you know, better give me back my clothes there that you took. See, I hear people like, Christian counseling. And the reason I'm counseling them, the devil's beating their brains out because they won't forgive somebody. Well, I'll forgive them if they apologize. Is that the way Christ forgave you? Well, I'll forgive them if they restore what they stole. Is that what the Bible teaches? That's not what the Bible teaches. No, as what the Bible teaches, the same way he forgave you. How did he forgive us? On the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why? He loved us. And that same love, you can't walk with the King. You can't walk with him through your day. See, brings up the message of this church, the fellowship, the praying in the Spirit, the having your kingdom-minded, having your focus all day. Me and Jesus are walking through today. Glory to God. You're not going to walk with him and not walk in love. At least more of it progressively as time goes on. He leaves the equation when you start calling down judgment. He died for that person. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, and that's the agape kind of love, which is the bond of perfectness. But notice what happens when you do that. Then the peace of God, let it rule in your heart, to the which are also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. The cousin to holiness is thankfulness. ungrateful, being ungrateful and bitter towards God, not happy, uncontentedness. That's the wellspring for all types of sin. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with judgment in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. What is your heart supposed to be full of? Grace. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do. Now see, in Matthew 6:33, Jesus said it this way: seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Here, the apostle writes it this way: whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Then he goes on, I doubt this is a new thought. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Right then he has a little word for the husbands. Love your wives. And be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. On and on and on he goes. Come down to verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That is being kingdom minded right there. I don't care if you're working an assembly line. I don't care if you're the janitor of a building and cleaning toilets all day. I don't care. You and the king can have every day blessed. And how I know that is I've been there. I've had jobs that I didn't really like, but when I was in kingdom mode, can I say it that way? When I know what you can have two consecutive days on the same job, everything be almost identical, one of them be heaven on earth, and the very next day be hell, and it's all got to do with your walk with Jesus on those 2 days. On the one I was kingdom minded all day long, and I'm whatever it is I'm doing, I'm clean, you know, but if it's cleaning the toilets or doing whatever it is you're doing, you know, glory to God, and thinking you got your mind on the king, and who knows, somebody may come and you hear his voice and the Lord says, I want you to give that guy $10, I want you to witness to that guy, or you know, do something. Boy, those are great days when it's you and the king in fellowship all day. Then the very next day you can have a flat, you know, had to change a flat tire before you left for work and whatever. You know, you let circumstances come in, or somebody said something ugly to you, or you said, and then that whole day, man, little you again, your little selfish world again, and everybody's out to get me, and I hate this job, and I don't know why I'm here, and I should have a promotion. That other guy got the promotion, and now you're in selfish kingdom. You're in the other kingdom, the world's kingdom, all about. It's all about me. It's all about me. What about me? That's the world. Kingdom days. It's Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. Those are great days. Those are good days. Gary, how do you know so much about this going on? Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. If you want to know the truth of it, I'm in a season right now where the Lord's going, how much of the New Testament do you consider to be Old Testament? What? He said, well, you don't ever preach out of these parts of it. I'm going, what? Well, see, I think what's happened in the whole, starting with the charismatic renewal, it was a rebellion against legalistic, man-made holiness. I'll tell you what's holy, you know. No earrings, no makeup, no bun, no put your hair up in a bun, you know. And, you know, well, there was a rebellion against that, and I thank God, okay. we're free. Yeah, we got so free we don't even obey Jesus anymore, see. Like there's no restraint at all. Well, I'm free, my brother. I can go gamble if I want to. I know you can. Make heaven too. Are you letting your light shine while you're there? Being a witness to the world, are you? I know I'm getting on toes. I know it. Do you know the Bible says, New Testament, abstain from the appearance of evil? No, that's got to be Old Testament. No, it's not. Okay. Quickly, I'm going to finish this now. 1 Peter chapter 2, let's start in verse 11. Dearly beloved. Everyone say, yes, Peter. He's talking to me now. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation, your manner of life, honest among the Gentiles. And he just means the unbelievers. That, whereas they speak against you as evildoers. Now, see, we're back to Matthew 5. They're speaking as, you know, well, you, those Christians are bad people. I mean, they're bad people. And they're going to be saying that more and more. They're haters and they're bigots because they don't accept what we call righteous today. Whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, here we go again, let your light so shine before men that they can see your good works and glorify God. They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now part of that is submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Now, what's he, plain English, what's he talking about? Christians, obey the law. Now, we're not talking, and you have to take the whole New Testament into context. The same Peter who wrote this, stood before the Sanhedrin and said, shall we obey you or shall we obey God? The same Peter. Of course you have to obey God when the government comes against God. But he's talking about obey the law of the land. Shouldn't be no bank robbers calling themselves Christians. Shouldn't be no thieves, you know. Anyway, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now I'm going to step on every toe in the room right now. Including my own. You shouldn't be speeding. Here we go. Oh my God. That's got to be Old Testament, Brother Gary. You shouldn't be speeding. What does obey every ordinance of man mean to you? Except the ones you don't like? Shouldn't be. Now anyone, you know, once in a while. I mean, an accident is one thing. I know people on purpose that say they'll never stop you if you stay under 20 miles over the speed limit. And if they do, I don't care. I'd rather pay the fine and drive that fast anyway. Boy, you're letting your little light shine now. Your actions are all about the kingdom of God, aren't they? Tell me. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now, that's just a... Well, see, then they start passing laws that are against God's laws. I don't think God approves of gambling. I just don't think he does. Now, I can't find anywhere in the Bible where he thinks that's a good idea. People get addicted to that, like they get a. You have Gamblers Anonymous, like you got Alcoholics Anonymous. Whole families are destroyed by it. Well, you let the Lord be your. For me, you're not going to catch me over there. Why? Mainly it's to be a witness, to let my light shine. To let my light shine. You're not going to catch me over there. Not to be doing that. And that's one thing to have a job there. We've had people right here at the prayer center. See, we also teach to be gainfully employed. Well, they work in the kitchen or they work, you know, doing something. I think if you're doing that, fine. That's temporary till you get a better job. submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. That's the law of the land. Whether it be to the king as supreme or as unto governors, this is not talking about church government. Or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. They may not like you for your righteous stand, but they'll say, well, one thing about it, those Christians, boy, they obey the law. You don't find any bank robbers, extortioners, kidnappers, any of that going on with those Christians. I wish that was the testimony. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Now here, I've already confessed to you my failing of verse 17, and I repent again. I'm going to do better in the future. It says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, but where I failed is honor the king. That we don't have a king. What would it be? Honor the president. Now, in the context, I am, because I am obeying the laws of the land, except where they're going to pass laws against that. You know, that's against God, what I'm saying. But I honor the king. I haven't done a very good job of honoring my president, and I repent. That's not what the Bible teaches. I need to be praying. In your own prayer time, be praying for the king, praying for the president. He takes this on down even lower than that, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Well, I will if they're good to me. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Froward means they're not so nice. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. But what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? If you're buffeted for your faults, they fired me, and all I did was come in an hour late every day. I don't get it. I'm going to file a suit against them. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Did you hear that? You're doing the right thing and suffering for it. God says, that's okay. That's acceptable. Are you praying for that guy who's causing you to suffer? Who is it in trouble in that scenario? If you're the Christian on your way to heaven, and your boss is some heathen guy that's not born again yet, who is really the one in trouble from God's perspective? He's trying to find someone who will do what he said. Pray for him. Love him. Do good to him. No matter what he does to you, pray for this guy. God's trying to save this guy. He'd like to use you to help. But if we're all offended and we're in self-kingdom mode all day, and all we think about is self, then we want God to call fire down on that guy. And that's the very one God sent you there to help let your light shine too. Verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And I got to be honest with you, too often guile is found in mine. I've got to repent, and I'm asking you to repent. I'm going to let my light shine. Who, when he was reviled... Reviled is more than just, I don't like you. I don't like you and your mother dresses you funny. I mean, they start saying really ugly stuff about you. Revile. He reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were a sheep gone astray, But now are you returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now see, there shouldn't be a chapter 3 break right there. Likewise. Giving examples now. Likewise. Bringing it home to every person. Not everybody is a pulpit ministry. You don't have to have a pulpit ministry to let your light shine. In fact, that's the least of the shining in the world. The world is where the jobs are, people. That's one of the reasons that Christians over and over and over again in the New Testament have a job. Be gainfully employed. How are you going to let your light shine if everyone around you is light? We'll get prayer requests all the time. I'm the only Christian where I work. Please pray that God will move me to a Christian job. And I'm going, no. You're the only, God sent you there to be a light. Grow up. Do this message. Let the Holy Spirit have its way with your flesh for a little while. You want me to remove the only light those people have? You're the only Christian there and you want to be removed? You don't need to be removed. You need to grow up. Well, chapter 3, verse 1, in that same vein, to help illustrate how you let your light shine. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Didn't we just read that a while ago from the pen of Paul over in Colossians and Ephesians? That if any obey not the word, now here's someone that's not a Christian, they may also, without the word, be won by the conversation, the manner of life of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, and that means reverence. Now see, here's one of those verses they use to take away the earrings. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold or of the putting on of apparel. And they would take that to mean, well, see, there you're not supposed to have any of that. He says, don't let that become where your beauty comes from. That's not what makes you beautiful. What makes you beautiful, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. Meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. But he doesn't leave the husbands out. Likewise, you husbands, you dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel. How many of you know some strong women? I know some strong women. Listen, he's not talking about weak in character or weak in any other way. It's just that the physical male body normally is a little rougher than the normal female physical body. They hold just as much of God. The vessel is the same size. A woman holds just as much of God as you do, you male. But we're the ones God put out on the front lines. We're supposed to be out there, you know, the rough weather, and we're doing whatever's needed to bring in the bacon, you know. And the wives are more tender. They're more fragile in that sense, normally. Not all of them. Boy, I've seen some. You ever seen those bodybuilding things? Oh, my God. You better hope that one's got a meek and a mild spirit. I'm telling you right now. Break your bones. Giving honor unto the wife. Let's just say that way. How about giving honor unto the wife? Can y'all tell I give honor to Sue? I'm a lot better at it than I was when I was young and stupid. Stupider. As unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together. I love that. We are joint heirs together. And really in Christ, there is neither male nor female anyway. There's really not. There's neither male nor female. We're equal in the eyes of God. I told you about that time I left. This was when I was young and stupider. I don't even remember what the argument was about. Boy, I got in a huff about something. And I wanted her to know I was upset. And I went out and got in the car, backed out of the driveway, put it in drive. And chirp, chirp. Boy, I mean, you know, I left a little going down the road. I didn't even get a block. I said something ugly to her when I left, too. I don't remember now, but it was ugly. I didn't get a block away, and I heard the Lord say, in this tone of voice, too, "You be careful how you speak to my daughter." Car went, ee. Stop. Meekly turned around, go back in the driveway, come in, apologize to my wife. It's been different from that day forward. We are joint heirs. We are heirs together of the grace of life, that our prayers be not hindered. That's New Testament, that your prayers be not hindered. Strife between husband and wife is one of the biggest hindrances to prayer. You know, fight all the way to church, walk in all holy, sit there, smile, put a nice offering in the bucket. As soon as you get out of church, back in the car, strife again, and wonder why the prayers aren't being answered so quickly, you know? Gary, how do you know so much about that? Verse 8 says, finally, when I was young and stupider, it doesn't really happen much anymore. Thank God for that. This message works. Finally, be you all of one mind. Boy, won't that be everyone just stop and worship God? God, let's call down a miracle. Father, we pray your word that we all be of one mind. That right there, God, that would be a miracle if I ever found a church where everybody in it was of one mind. Okay. I had a rapture moment for a moment there. I'm sorry, I kind of left the planet for just a minute. I'm back now. I can't see now. That one got me. That would be the. I think that's more than a Red Sea miracle to find a church of one mind. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, have pity on people, and be courteous. Courteous, just plain old common courtesy. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. They rail on you and you bless. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days. How many wants that? He that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew or stay away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And that's sanctify in your heart. I don't care what hell of a day the world is throwing at you. I don't care what kind of persecution you're going through. You may have the worst job on planet Earth. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Have a kingdom day. Let your light shine. Walk with the King today. Be ready to always give an answer to every man that asked you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. I could go on, but we're out of time. Is that good or what? I'm telling you, it doesn't matter your circumstances. It doesn't matter what's going on. You can have a kingdom day every day, and it's your choice. Choose to walk with the King today. Amen.